We read this story of Abraham in chapter 20. And those of you that are familiar with Scripture think, not again. Because back in chapter 12, Abraham made this same mistake. He went to Egypt and he said, this is my sister, because he was afraid, fear. Didn't want to be killed, didn't want them to take his wife by force. So he lied and said, she's my sister, because she was beautiful. Like, Abraham, you've been through so much. Don't you know that God is bigger? Don't you know that God will deliver you? And more than that, God promised a child through Sarah next year. And here he's jeopardizing that. What is wrong with Abraham? Doesn't he have more faith in this? And you read this story and you think, he didn't deserve for God to appear to Abimelech and say, do not touch this woman. He didn't deserve to get Sarah back. He didn't deserve, on top of it all, for Abimelech to give him a bunch of stuff, cattle and money. Why did he do that? He didn't deserve it. And you know what? He didn't deserve to get his son, Isaac, the promised child. He didn't deserve it. He messed up in the end and made a wrong choice. He didn't deserve it. And then we look back at the last chapter we looked at last Sunday, last Wednesday, with Lot in Sodom. And he didn't deserve to get delivered from Sodom. The angels came to him, and he was vexed. He was offering his daughters to the angry mob. He didn't deserve to get delivered. And the angel said, leave, and he didn't. He just lingered. The angels had to grab his hand and physically take him out of the city. He didn't deserve that. He deserved to be destroyed with the city of Sodom. But you see, that's grace. Grace is when we don't deserve it. We see grace when we look at Abraham in chapter 20. We see grace when we look at Lot in chapter 19. See, grace is a given. Grace is a gift. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Grace is unmerited favor. Charles Stanley, I heard on the radio, he gave a definition using an acrostic. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is all about. Getting it when we don't deserve it. When we mess up. When we deserve something else. God coming through and giving us what we don't deserve. Wonderful. Grace. We see here, looking at Lot and Abraham, we have a wide spectrum. Lot is just about, the Bible says in the book of Peter, I believe it is, that righteous Lot was vexed. He was righteous. Well, Lot's just about the most ungodly, compromised, righteous man I've ever met. He's like way low on the spectrum. You can't get much more ungodly and still be a righteous man. He was really messed up. And then we have Abraham. He's the father of our faith. I believe, besides the person of Jesus Christ, no one exemplifies faith better than the man Abraham. We're going to look at that in chapter 22. Where it culminates. But these two people are both getting grace. These two people could not be more unalike. And they represent a broad spectrum. And we learn a lesson here that grace is for everyone. Grace to you, Paul said in Romans and in Philemon. Grace is for you, wherever you fall on the spectrum. Whatever you've done, we look at Lot. He did evil things. He did terrible things, but he still got grace. He did them for a long time. 13 years plus. More than that, previously. And he kept doing them and doing them and doing them, and yet he got grace. We look at Abraham. He made the same mistake again. And he knew better. And he still got grace. You see, no act can disqualify you from grace. No matter what you do, you cannot be disqualified from grace. You see, that's what makes it grace. Grace has nothing to do with you and your acts. Grace is merited. He paid for it. He gives it. He did it. Nothing. Grace removes barriers. Everyone can come to Christ. We feel like, I can't come to Christ. I read a story in the commentary that this guy came to this lady's house who needed help. She was down on her luck financially. And he came and he knocked on the door and didn't get an answer. And he called for her. Hey, is anyone home? Is anyone home? No one answered. No one came to the door, so he left. Later he met the girl and said, I tried to come to your house yesterday. I had help for you. I had something to give you. She said, what time? He said, about 12 o'clock. And she said, oh, I heard you, but I thought you were the rent collector. So I didn't answer the door. That's how many people think of God. He's there trying to get their attention. And I think about God, he wants something from me. I'm in trouble. He's going to take from me. He's going to judge me. And God's at the door. I've got some grace for you. I've got a gift. I've got help. I've got what you need. Grace is for us. Removes barriers. Grace. Nothing trumps grace. Nothing trumps his grace. It's a free gift. And removes barriers. I think of the veil of the temple. Gives us access. Grace. That's what makes it grace. A few scriptures. The Bible says that through him we have access into this grace. Grace removes barriers and tears the veil of the temple. The Bible says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, wherever you fall on the spectrum, God is able to give you that gift. God is able to give you grace and give you lots of it. He can do it. He's God. To each of us, the Bible says, grace was given. Each of us that believe have been given grace. In fact, the Bible says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Maybe not all have received it, but it's appeared to all. He knocks on every man and woman's door with a gift. Grace is offered no matter what. Grace is for everyone. Oh, how amazing. If the world only knew, how many would open the door and receive his free gift of grace? I see something else in this story. Grace is for every stage of our Christian walk. You look at Abraham again. He was mature. He had practiced faith and obedience. We look at Lot, and he was a babe. He was compromised. He had not practiced any faith or obedience. And yet grace was just as much for Lot as it was for Abraham. You see, grace is not a handicap for the weak or for the beginner. I think this explains some of my stupid prayers. Have you ever prayed something like this? God, forgive me one more time. What a stupid prayer. But you see, it's like, I want to get past grace. Just one more time, and then I won't need it. Then it'll be because of me. But no, grace is not a handicap for the beginner. Or you ever pray this? Help me, Lord, one more time. Give me one more chance. Oh, don't pray that. You're going to need far more than one more chance. See, grace is for everyone. Grace is not a handicap for the beginner. Grace is our only hope throughout the whole journey. You think of a game of golf. Grace is not a handicap for some to get to, you know, do the driver a little closer to the hole. Grace is the ball. Grace is the only means by which we play the game. Grace is our standard of growth, in fact. It's not that the weak have more grace. In fact, we should develop grace. The Bible teaches us to grow in grace. We need more grace. The closer we get to him, the more grace we need and get and use. Grace is for every stage of life, for every time. Grace is our means, our standard of growth. Grace is a daily need. We need his grace every day, his free gift. Undeserved favor. The Bible says in Acts that we are to continue in the grace of God. Grace is not just to start, it's to continue in. Awesome scripture in John 1:16. The Bible says that grace for grace. That word for can mean in replace of. You see, we get grace, and then nothing substitutes that except more grace. We grow in grace from grace to grace. It never is substituted. The Bible, speaking of Titus, said he began. He has begun in grace. So he completed. He was completed by grace. The Bible says that we are to abound in grace. The Bible says, as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him. How did you receive the Lord Jesus? By grace. So how are you to walk in the Lord Jesus? By grace. Paul told Timothy, be strong in grace. Oh, grace is not for the weak, the spiritually weak. It is. It's for everyone. But it's also for the strong. It's what makes one strong. It's what makes one mature spiritually. Grace. Grace be multiplied to you. 2 Peter 1:2. Grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. There's a wonderful scripture in James where he talks about how the people committed adultery and went and served other gods. And then there's this wonderful scripture, but God gives more grace. Oh, grace is throughout the Bible. And then there's a scripture in 1 Peter 1:13. It says that grace is to be given at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, grace is there at the start. It's by grace we are saved, the gospel of grace. But grace will be there at the end when Jesus is revealed and we spend eternity with him. Grace will be evident throughout eternity. Grace will be revealed in that day at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation. Grace is for everyone. Grace is for every stage of our spiritual walk. And finally, grace is for everything. What I mean by that, as we look at the text we read today, we see that in chapter 21, after this lapse of faith with Abraham and his grace, and by God's grace, he receives the promised child, Isaac. It was by grace. It was by grace Isaac came. And it was very evident because Abraham had just failed. You see, God doesn't reward our good works with his favor. No. In fact, all rewards he gives us are because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Nothing we can do can receive a reward. It's him working through us. It's not to be earned. And here, this promised child was by grace. You see, you think about promises that God has for you. You think about a spiritual breakthrough. You think about a miracle you may be praying for. And you think about especially the power to live the life you should and the glory of God. All of this is by grace. Grace enables glory and power and miracles and promises. Grace brings breakthrough. It's grace. It's by grace. We see this with Abraham. I read one quote in a commentary. Grace is the bud, glory is the blossom. Grace is glory begun, glory is grace perfected. Power and glory coming from and through grace. The Bible says in Acts at Peter's scene that with great power they shared Christ, they worked. And then he noticed in the same verse that there was great grace among them. And they worked together. There's no power without grace. Grace is by power is by grace. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, the grace was spread to the glory of God. In chapter 8:19 of 2 Corinthians, it says grace, further on in the verse, to the glory of God. That's what grace allows, God's glory. Because it's him, and it's not anything of us. So he's glorified perfectly. Oh, you see how it works. Even at the latter stages of our spiritual walk, we're desperately dependent upon grace. And the more we understand that and give into it, the more God is glorified, the more promises and miracles and breakthrough and power are available. For they are by grace. I want you to read this one. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 12:9. Oh, God's grace is amazing. Paul, speaking of what Jesus told him in response that he would remove the thorn in his flesh. Chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verse 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you." It's enough. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's where the strength comes from, by grace. He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me, by grace. Thessalonians, the name of Jesus was glorified in you according to grace. It's by grace. Everything by grace. Power, glory, miracles, breakthrough, promise, by grace. So, grace is for everyone. Grace is for every stage of our walk. Grace for everything. Everything by grace. So we can kind of conclude and bring it here today that grace is for you. Grace is for now. And whatever it is you're waiting for, whatever it is God wants to do in your life, grace is for that. Grace is for this day, for right here, right now. Paul said in one of his letters, "We plead with you that you would not receive the grace of God in vain, for today is the day of salvation." You see, God got a gift, and that gift saves us and makes all the difference and brings the power and the glory and transforms our life. Oh, that we would receive that gift. And oh, that we would not receive it in vain, but it would work in our lives effectively. Grace is received. It's a gift. It's received. The Bible says time and time again, it is given. The Bible also says through faith. Grace is believed. Grace is received, and grace is believed. Oh, that we would receive and believe. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll close with this verse and pray. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Right here, you, right now, for that very thing, grace. I read another commentary was saying if heaven was earned, he said, "I could never enter heaven with a pure, free conscience. Because I would always wonder, I don't deserve this. This isn't right. I shouldn't be granted access." But because of heaven and all that God offers is by grace, he said, I can freely enter boldly. And we can freely approach Christ boldly. We don't deserve nothing. He knows that. We're there to receive by grace. Let's do it. Please stand with me and let's pray. Let's ask God for grace. Let's humble ourselves. The Bible says God gives grace to the lowly, to the humble. He resists the proud. We need to recognize we need it, and it's by Him. And stop trying to earn it and receive it. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we look to You. We see Your grace in Your Word, and we are truly amazed. We are dumbfounded. It is amazing. It is wonderful. Oh, Father, strengthen our faith. May all of us here, believe and receive your grace. May it transform us and make all the difference. O Lord, grant us grace. Pour out your grace. May we develop in grace and grow in grace. Receive, find, have grace. We pray by faith in your word and what you've said, all of this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May you all find grace, as the author of Hebrews says. May you all have grace this week, as the author of Hebrews says. May you receive grace, as Paul said to the Romans. May you have grace in your heart. May he establish your heart in grace. See, grace works on the inside. May grace be with your spirit. These are all found in Scripture. May grace transform you. In Jesus' name I pray. You're dismissed. Amen.